Mark Meadows is always an early bird. He's always one of our earlier guests. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Tony.
Now, I know that you're working, actually. You're at a work convention somewhere down in Indianapolis. What's going on?
The Midwest Conference of Legislators is having our conference, our annual meeting this week, and we're in Indianapolis. We go from state to state with this, and I'm on the executive committee here, and so I'm down here working. We're working on resolutions relating to state issues that may impact may be impacted by the federal government and their policies, but also it's a great opportunity to interface with other legislators from other states. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel all the time. We have some issues that other states have addressed, and vice versa, and it's great to exchange that information.
What will be the hot topics?
You know, the hot topic has been budgets for everybody this year, and we've spent a lot of time on economic development and budgets and how each state has dealt with this economic downturn over the last decade. So it is still the subject, and certainly tax reform, which was a big issue in Michigan this year, has been an issue that a lot of people had interest in. And it's interesting, since we tend to compare ourselves to Indiana, to hear Indiana legislators and their take on for instance, the corporate income tax. So I'll bring some of that information back. I was pretty surprised by it.
You know, what's interesting about Indiana is they've been able to really see some cost cuttings and corrections. It tells for them to house a prisoner has been thought to be $8,000 to $10,000 less than what we do here in Michigan.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of our costs are fueled by a whole series of lawsuits that we saw in the 80s and 90s, and where prisoners said, I have a right to have X, and our state courts agreed. We have to take a look at that whole system. That's one place in the budget where we actually increased the budget, and I think that was a mistake to head in that direction. It really needs to be reduced. It eats up a quarter of our general fund budget, and that's we spend more on corrections than we do on education.
And that was going to be my next point, Mark. It blows my mind that we can spend 3, 4, 5 times more on an incarcerated individual as we do a student.
It's true, and in fact, when you think about it, I know we criticize the governor. He sends his children to private school and pays $22,000 a year, and then we try to educate ordinary kids on less than $7,000. But when you think about the cost of a prisoner at $33,000 a year, and we're spending less than $7,000 to educate a child that could stay out of prison and become a productive member of society, than we do just to house a prisoner. I mean, something is wrong here. We've kind of turned the world upside down on that.
Any talk about what's going on in Minnesota? When you look at that state, Mark, it kind of puts into perspective maybe the $2 billion that we were in the hole isn't so bad, as that state shut down.
Yeah, they shut down, and we were accused of a shutdown a couple of times over the last 4 years. One lasted like 10 minutes and the other one, about 15. But, they were shut down for quite a period of time. I talked to the Minnesota legislators. They're part of this organization. And, they're not particularly happy with the deal that was struck. But, everybody's ready to move on. In Minnesota, they've got, things back up and cranking. And, sometimes you do have to do battle to get to a spot where both sides can agree entirely. But, I don't think they quite reached there. But, they got the job done finally anyway.
There was a story last week, Mark. Ingham County Prosecutor Stuart Dunnings III had talked about a crime which was committed, and after 10 years, they found out who killed this individual. Now, it was an accident. There was a fight, and the guy got knocked back, and in the fight, the guy wasn't trying to kill the guy, but as a result of the fall from a hit, someone died. And 10 years later, Stuart Dunnings found the individual, but was not able to prosecute them because by several months, the statute of limitations would not allow him to do so. And I know that you're now involved in some legislation that would seek to amend the statute of limitation on certain crimes.
Yeah, it not the length of the time. My legislation simply says that, you know, the statute doesn't begin to run until you determine the identity of the perpetrator. In other words, it puts the pressure on those individuals who would prosecute to take action in a prompt manner. And 10 years is a lengthy period of time. But as this incident proved, you know, you can stay silent for 10 years. And I think one of the most troubling things about this is that apparently this individual came forward with the identity of the perpetrator. It was sort of like a gotcha type thing. It was like, see, you know, we could stay silent for 10 years, and now our buddy, you know, can't be prosecuted. I mean, that's wrong in and of itself. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, is the statute of limitations are supposed to do is to encourage activity, but not take things so long that, you know, witnesses can pass away, they can disappear, you know, that you still have, you know, a way of determining the facts of a particular situation. And in this situation, you know, there are some things we do know, that he fell backward, that he hit his head. We don't know who started the fight. You know, we don't know if this guy was even participating in a fight or he just got whacked and because he happened to be standing there. I think there are a lot of unanswered questions with regard to it, and it's a shame that we can't at least prosecute the individual to find out what the facts are and what the situation. But it's not about, you know, just some guys getting into a fight and an accidental death, as some people have indicated. It's really about the public policy of allowing a situation to be to happen where just silence prevents criminal activity from being prosecuted. You know, the statute doesn't just apply to manslaughter. It applies to some really substantial crimes like kidnapping, assault with intent to commit murder, attempted murder. You know, if you have, you know, you hear about these guys coming up to your house, kicking in your door, going in, that's one of the crimes that this applies to. And, you know, if you get a mask on and people disappear, 10 years can go by and they're off the hook. If under my legislation, it simply says that once we identify somebody, then the statute of limitations starts to run. I think that's a fair way of dealing with this and an improvement in the public policy surrounding statutes of limitations.
All right. This legislation is with the Judiciary Committee. Is it in committee now?
It would be in committee now. We've got the bill, and it wouldn't be in committee at this moment in time, but will be as soon as the bill is filed. So we haven't been in session, so we have to wait for the clerks to actually read these.
State Representative Mark Meadows live on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Thanks so much, Mark.
No problem. Have a great day, Tony.